Aristotle's virtues are incomplete insofar as he fails to take account of the religious dimension of human personality, and that if we're to be truly virtuous persons, then we need God in order to inculcate in us these religious virtues as well. Moreover, it seems to me that in the absence of God, these so-called virtues aren't really moral virtues at all. They're more just like conditions that are conducive to human flourishing. But why should we regard those virtues as any more important than, say, guinea pig virtues? What's contributory to the flourishing of guinea pigs, or mosquito virtues or chimpanzee virtues that would be conducive to the flourishing of that species? There's nothing about human beings that would make them, it seems to me, intrinsically valuable or different than these other species. And to think that there is would be to be guilty of speciesism. That is to say, regarding your own species as being more important than others. So that in that light, it seems to me these virtues aren't in a sense really moral virtues at all. It's just factors that contribute to the flourishing of a certain natural kind or species. And they don't really have any moral quality to them in that way at all. And unless you say that we have an obligation to develop these qualities, that we have some sort of an obligation to become virtuous in this way. But that's what then Aristotle can't account for. He doesn't have this idea of a person who is a moral lawgiver to whom we owe the duty to become virtuous people. So what you need in addition to these virtues is this idea of moral duty and obligation, and I think that's where you get that from God. So those would just be a few thoughts on that subject, and I would say take a look at the debate with Taylor. It's on my website at www.leaderu.com. That's LEADERU.com, and you'll find the transcript of the debate there.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Craig.
Yes.
I would like to talk to you about meaning and purpose, and I want to offer up a short hypothetical. Let's say, for example, I am a scientist, and I find the cure for cancer. Not treatment, the cure of all cancers. And I, through my work and my efforts, I'll have saved millions of lives now and in future generations.
Yes.
I'll be famous, I'll have tremendous respect, I'll go down as one of the greatest human beings of all time. But I'm an atheist, and my belief is unshakable. And my efforts has nothing to do with my immortality or anything beyond that. And since you say that there's no ultimate meaning without immortality, and all events are meaningless, well, I just did something meaningful. I'm going to be saving people.
Right.
And if there's no ultimate purpose without God or immortality, and if my life is no qualitatively different than a dog. Dogs can't cure cancer. I did. And if I made a leap of faith, well, in a purposeless world, to make a leap of faith to find purpose, my efforts wasn't a leap of faith. I did something good. How do you respond to that?
What I would say is that I am in no way denying that the lives of atheists are meaningful, valuable, and purposeful. On the contrary, as a Christian theist, I think that they are. You see, what I'm saying is that meaning, value, and purpose don't depend upon our subjective apprehension of them. The atheist who doesn't think that God exists has a life which is ultimately meaningful, valuable, and significant because he's wrong. God does exist. And he is immortal. And therefore, even though he subjectively denies these truths, because they are objective truths, his life is significant, valuable, and purposeful. By contrast, or the other side of the coin perhaps, suppose that God did not exist. My life as a Christian minister and teacher would be meaningless, valueless, and purposeless, even though I believe in God and believe in immortality and try to serve him and so forth. It would all be an illusion, a fiction. So my life would be meaningless. Why? Because I'd be wrong, because there is no God, there is no immortality. So it's the objective